proceed to the fourth case, Rieger Development v. National City Bank. Mr. Hallam?
Admittedly, it would be simple to accept National City's position that, under the promissory note involved in this case, National City would have the absolute right to demand payment in any amount, at any time, for any reason, or for no reason whatsoever, just because it felt like it. Certainly, the district court readily agreed with National City. And by doing so, the district court found that Rieger Development could not clear one of the two easy-to-clear hurdles for stating a cause of action in federal court. The district court found that Rieger Development's claims were not plausible, that they did not raise the possibility of relief above a speculative level. Respectfully, however, it's wrong to simply take National City's argument on faith without anything more.
Yeah, but here we're talking again about language. It's the language here, because there were no limitations or no conditions. There were preconditions that triggered, you know, the demand for full payment.
But, Your Honor, to accept National City's argument is to accept the argument, then, that National City could demand payment for a bad reason and face no consequences for doing so. And to accept National City's argument is to blindly accept the argument that National City could demand payment despite other language in the note. But that
but
is too...
You can't point to any language in the note that, again, you know, gives you some legs for your argument. And there's no allegation here that they made the demand for some bad or nefarious purpose.
In fact, there is, though. That is the gist of our argument, is that nothing allows National City to call part or all of the outstanding principal just so that it can use the demand to wrongfully extract changes to the fundamental terms of the contract documents. But that's what they attempted to do.
I guess I'm having trouble saying that that's nefarious or that's something.
Well, it is analogous, then, to the – we do have support for it. It's analogous to the Bonfield versus Amco Transmissions case. It's strong support. In that case, a cause of action was allowed to go forth. And again, we're talking about a motion to dismiss. And in that case, a cause of action was allowed to go forward where it was alleged that a franchisor who had contractual discretion – breached the contract by attempting to exercise the discretion to coerce changes to the party's contract documents. Now, National City didn't even address that case in its brief. But it's essentially the same thing that National City attempted to do here. They attempted to make a demand. They threatened a demand to attempt to coerce Rieger Development to accept changes to the contract documents. Now, that's a bad faith use of the demand provision in the promissory note. So while there may not be any express language, that's not Rieger Development's fault. The express language of the promissory note does not say it's immediately due on demand in any amount, at any time, for any reason whatsoever.
It doesn't have to be a demand note.
I understand.
Your whole case turns on whether this is a demand note or not. If it's a demand note, you lose because there's no cognizable good faith claim in the context of a demand note.
Well, I disagree that because the implied duty of good faith and fair dealing still applies in the context of a demand note. And there are cases cited in our brief to that effect.
I just don't see how you get around. Lender may declare the entire unpaid balance under this note and all unpaid interest immediately due. That's in Provision A. Provision B in the promissory note. Borrower will pay this loan full immediately upon lender's demand.
Because the
C, on demand. I mean, this is like so throughout the document with no conditions whatsoever.
But because just because it says that several times doesn't mean that there wasn't other language that suggested that it is something other than on
and
demand.
What's that other language
and, well, there is other language concerning maturity date, default, interest after default, that would give a borrower a reasonable impression that there is something other than this. But more importantly, Your Honor, they didn't actually demand. What they did was said, we want, first, they made a partial demand for $125,000. There's nothing in the contract documents that allow them to make a partial demand for any amount. Nothing. They made a demand, you must pay $125,000. That wasn't enough for them. Then they came back and said, we want to change the fundamental nature of this line of credit. We want to turn it into a term note. We want to involve a different borrower. We want to involve it for a different amount. We want to lower the amount. They did all those things. They didn't actually come and demand payment. Then when Mr. Rieger said, well, I don't agree to these things, are you going to demand payment? Well, we possibly will, which is, if anything, a veiled threat. It's an actual threat. But again, that's a question for trial, not on the basis of a motion to dismiss. So they can't use that demand language for a bad purpose, which is what they were trying to do. They were trying to use their overall arching ability to crush Rieger Development by demanding payment to make Rieger Development agree to terms which it didn't contain in National City's own contract documents. And it had nothing to do with whether Rieger Development had complied with its obligations, whether Rieger Development was financially secure. It all came down to the question that National City itself had been put on the watch list. National City itself was in financial turmoil. National City itself needed to do something different with its lines of credit. And so they used that demand feature in the contract documents to go to Rieger Development and say, okay, we're not going to have this as a line of credit, open revolving working capital line of credit any longer. We're going to turn it into a term note, and we're going to have you put up security in the form of real estate from one of Mr. Rieger's other entities, and we're going to reduce the amount. And if anything, that is exercising a right. The demand claim.
There's no language that would prevent them from doing that in the agreement that was signed. They were the ones that held on to the money. They dictated the terms. Your client signed off on it. There was no ambiguity.
I don't disagree, Judge, that there's nothing in the express terms that limits that, but it's the implied duty of good faith and fair dealing. They are exercising contractual discretion in a way that defeats the reasonable expectations of the parties. They are using it for a bad purpose. Now, they might be able to come and demand payment for absolutely no reason whatsoever. They could come in and they could demand payment because they're feeling a little skittish about, you know, what he used the funds for, something like that. But it doesn't mean that because of their own problems and their own desire to change the terms and the very nature of the document itself, that they can come in and demand it just so that they can change it.
How do you deal with all these cases that deal with good faith and fair dealing, which say that good faith and fair dealing cannot overrule or modify the express terms of a contract? The covenant of good faith and fair dealing does not enable a guarantor to read an obligation into a contract that does not exist.
What, right. We're not trying to read into a contract. And I quote back to the Amoco case, the Bonfield versus Amoco case, because in that case, the franchisor had the express right to change the terms of the franchise agreement. But the court said, no, the implied duty of good faith and fair dealing means you can't do it for a bad purpose. You can do it for no reason whatsoever. You can do it for a good purpose. But if you're coming up and doing this for some kind of a bad purpose, that's enough to state a cause of action. And again, we're dealing...
Cause of action for what?
In this case, it's a breach of contract, and we also have a corresponding fraud claim. And the breach of contract is the breach of their exercise of the demand right.
Well, there's no cognizable fraud claim here because there isn't any alleged actionable misrepresentation, but with respect to the breach of contract claim, again, the good faith, the implied duty of good faith does not apply if this is a pure demand note. If it's a, some other kind of a note,
but I disagree.
Then it does. Well, the Illinois statutes are against you on that, as are all the cases.
I know, but the Bank of Springfield case indicates that it applies, that the good, duty of good faith and fair dealing. It means that they don't have to take into account good faith or do it in good faith. The bank didn't have to act in good faith, but they couldn't act in bad faith.
UCC 1-208, codified in the Illinois statutes at 5/1-208.
I don't disagree, but that statute doesn't say, lenders, you can act in bad faith. You can go out and do it for a bad reason. It says, we don't have to look into the reason why you do it. So, in other words, you don't have to prove that you had a good reason to lend money, to not lend money, to decide not to. But when what they're doing here, and it's very telling, Your Honor, they didn't make the demand. They didn't make the demand until after Judge Kendall.
You went to court first.
Well, I understand.
This was one of those, you know, best defense is a good offense kind
of
moves.
I don't disagree. But they could have then done it right after we went to court. They didn't. They waited until right when Judge Kendall issued her decision, they made the demand. It was within the 30 days. It was within our time to file a motion for reconsideration. It wasn't like they waited until the final entry of the judgment and it was all over. They still did it while the case was pending.
Mr. Hallam, I'm intrigued by one of the propositions you advanced on a possible bad faith. If we have a demand note situation, as we have here, and the lender, and I think you alluded to the fact, was facing its own financial difficulties.
Yes.
Would that be bad faith if they possessed a certain amount of on-demand notes to say that we're going to get currency because we have this built-in provision under
it? It was different than that. I think the answer to your question is was that reasonably contemplated by the parties when they entered into the contract? And I would suggest to you, borrowers didn't believe when they entered into this that their notes would be called because National City, a $43 billion bank.
Let's say that's what a borrower would think.
Okay.
But I guess my question is, if the lender makes that move, is that a bad faith move? Even if it's not in the contemplation of the borrower.
If all they're doing is demanding the payment, I would suggest to you it may not be the bad faith. But that's not what National City did. They threatened to make the demand so that they could change the fundamental terms. They weren't saying,
Were they making a partial demand?
I'm sorry?
Were they making a partial demand?
They did make a partial demand.
And
we paid the $125.
No, I understand. So that's...
But
that's
they don't.
That's apparently under the umbrella of the contract allowed, right? The partial demand.
Well, the partial demand. They don't have an express right. Actually, under the promissory note, it's just they can demand full payment.
So you would say you know, even if a bank came to a borrower and only wanted this partial demand, and really this would really help the borrower to just do a partial, just give me some of it. We're trying to survive here too. You would say, oh, no, that shouldn't work. It should be the full amount. They had the right to demand the full amount.
I agree. Yes.
But not a partial.
Yes. I don't believe they have the right to use that partial payment in the context of what they were, in a bigger sense, trying to do. What they were trying to do.
Obviously, your client would have to agree to a new term to convert it. Your partner would have to, your client would have had to agree to it, or if they didn't, the full demand would be made. I mean, look at the economic crisis we're in now. You're saying that any bank that calls on a line of credit because they're having problems with their payroll, paying people, whatever, they don't have the right to call
if what
in
they
the
were,
note.
I'm sorry. If what they were doing was just calling the money, but that's not what they were trying to do. They were also getting another party in on the note. They wanted a different party to become a party to the note. They wanted to
take your
security.
Client, wait a minute. Your client would have had the option of agreeing to a different kind of note. And if your client didn't do it, they could make the demand for the full payment. Right?
Well, they would have the option, except That isn't if what National City is doing.
But the answer is yes.
Yes.
Your client would have to agree to new terms.
Absolutely.
Your
they have the right.
Your client did not agree to new terms, so they would have had the right to deal with the full amount, to demand the full amount.
Yes. National City would have had the right to demand
yes.
the full amount if they were doing it for something other than a bad purpose. And in our position is that they were doing it for a bad purpose.
You can reserve some time. Thank you, Mr. Hallam. Counsel, how do you pronounce your name?
Chief Obama.
Chief Obama.
May it please the court. My name is Chad Schiefelbein. I represent National City Bank. Judge Williams, your questions to opposing counsel were right on. There are no conditions in this demand note. A demand note is a demand note is a demand note. This is a demand note. Judge Sykes, you were correct when you cited to the section of the Uniform Commercial Code 1-208 where you said covenant of good faith does not apply to a demand note. This is exactly what the district court had found when it ruled on our motion to dismiss, and the two claims that were asserted by Rieger Development are simply not plausible. Rieger Development pled itself out of court. The exhibits it attached to the complaint are plain, ordinary, unambiguous terms that say this is a demand note. National City has a right to demand payment, and that's what National City did. There are no claims of breach. There is no claim of breach of contract. There is no claim for breach of fraud. In addition, this was not a result-driven opinion, as Rieger Development alludes to in its brief. The judge, Judge Kendall, district court judge, looked at the exhibits, drafted a written opinion, 8 pages, and carefully addressed each of Rieger's arguments, rejected them as not plausible, dismissed the complaint, and entered judgment in my client's favor. The fact that the note calls itself a promissory note, not a demand note, even though that the word demand appears 8 times in the 2 pages, is a distinction without a difference, as the district court said. A demand note is a promissory note. Nothing in this document was misleading. There is no breach of contract claim. There is no fraud claim. And the district court's judgment in favor of my client should be affirmed.
Well, there are acceleration provisions in this note, are there not?
There is not an acceleration provision in the note. There are provisions that if they miss an interest payment, then the interest rate goes up.
Okay.
And that was what I believe Rieger was referring to. As Judge Williams had pointed out, there is no condition on the payment. It's a demand note. And for
there's
that reason, I'm sorry.
There's also a no prepayment penalty provision, and then there's a reference to the principal being paid or payable upon final maturity. What's the import of that language?
That is in the section that's entitled interest after default, and that speaks again to the interest. If they don't pay the interest on time, the interest rate goes up. The final maturity is the demand date. That's when a demand note is due. That's the final maturity date. So final maturity is demand.
Well, actually, a demand note is due immediately upon execution. That's the whole theory, right?
I'm sorry?
A demand note is due immediately upon
yes.
execution. That's
yes.
the whole theory of a demand
right.
note.
Correct.
So a maturity date, it's arguably inconsistent with...
No, Your Honor. It's consistent because, again, as to Judge Williams' comment, there is no term here. There is no condition of payment. So there is no consistency in that provision. And again, it speaks to interest going up. It doesn't restrict or in any way limit the bank's right to call the note.
So your argument is that those provisions condition only the interest rate provision of the note and not its character as a demand note?
Correct, Your Honor. It's in the section entitled Interest After Default, and it clearly says that the interest will be increased by adding 2 percentage points. It does not condition the bank's right to demand payment. And that's what the district court found based on its reading of the agreement, and I would agree with the district court. The district court should be affirmed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chief.
Thank you for your time.
candidly, I think we covered most of the issues during my opening remarks. I believe that the only other salient point that follows up on what Your Honor asked in terms of this is, if you take National City's arguments, it's indeed a demand note in its truest sense is due immediately upon the execution of the demand, which in this case would mean that Rieger Development didn't get a thing for its $5,000. So they could have just very easily given the money, taken the $5,000, and then immediately demanded the money back. So there, and the existence of those other provisions, the existence of the fact that we paid that $5,000 suggests that this was something a little different than just simply a demand note that could be called at any time for any reason and for a bad reason. And it just gets back to the question of it should not have been called and used for a bad purpose. And that is not something that should be allowed for a lender to do.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel, of course. And we will proceed. The case is taken.